On After Dark.
Well, that was a game, wasn't it? My. Welcome into Teal Town After Dark here after every single Sharks game here on the UB2B. I am AJ underscore strong. With me tonight, one Rocket Backhander and one Mr. Puck Guy 14. But as always, a little thing to get us going. That's right. Be a part of the show. Hit us up on Twitter or in the chat. You know how it is. But if it's on Twitter, hashtag Teal Town USA, follow us there. You can hit us up on all the social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud. And of course, as always, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Catch us everywhere on your favorite podcatcher. Tune in, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, iTunes. Oh my Lord, we're literally badass and nationwide. But the best part of tonight, of course, Twitter mission, Brody Brazil, rocking the Win It for Jumbo shirt. And if you would like to get your hands on one of these awesome tees, hit us up at Teal Town. No, not at Teal Town. What am I talking about? Just go visit the website, man. TealTownUSA.com. And that, my friends, is where you can find one of those. So let's get into it, kids. Oh, this just sucked. I totally thought we were going to see a redo, but evidently we weren't. So anyway,
we're seeing a redo. All right. We're unfortunately seeing a redo of a game 7 in San Jose on Wednesday night. And by the way, that's a 6 p.m. face-off time on Wednesday.
Wait, what?
It is a 6 p.m. face-off time in San Jose on Wednesday night. So be warned, get out of work early.
NBC, why do you make me hate you?
Well, it's the only game in town because Columbus lost tonight. We'll get to that in the wraparound a little bit, but yep. So just a heads up on that. So shall we review this one?
Oh, let's shall.
Let's get this over with.
Oh, damn. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Sharks lost. Good night, everyone.
Yeah. Like and subscribe. Peace out.
Appreciate it. So not much going on in the first period. If you watch the game, you would already know this. 12:06, LeBanc would get caught holding Soderberg. Solid call. It was a hold. LeBanc's got to be better in that situation. What are you going to do? But nothing would come of it either way. No shorties, no power plays. Life rolls on. And then at 15 minutes, Joe Thornton would hook Long Beach native Matt Nieto. Thank you. And nothing would come of it. But probably because it was abbreviated, because 34 seconds later, Rantanen would get caught tripping Couture. Booyah, the always wonderful 4-on-4 play, ladies and gentlemen. We love it so much. And that's the way the first period would shake out. The Sharks got absolutely smoked in the faceoff circle in the first period. I believe last I looked, it was somewhere in the neighborhood of like 70-30, pretty much an inverse of game 5.
Ouch.
Oh, it was bad. So, Rocket, your take on the first period, and I don't expect much.
Yeah, man. Like, I generally try not to really get too visually engaged with the game during the first period because I tend to get way too anxious and I can't focus on periods 2 and 3. So, you know, it's sort of like dipping a toes in the water. And I'll tell you what, I didn't miss anything. Nobody missed anything. If you didn't see the first 20 minutes of this game, you didn't miss anything.
Meh. Eric?
Yeah, I mean, what Rocket said, there wasn't much to talk about. I mean, shots on goal were 11-5 in favor of Colorado. I thought Colorado kind of dictated the game a little bit in the first, and that I think it was in the chat just now that they were chasing the game. I think even, like CD Dangle says, if you're holding or hooking, you're flat-footed, and we saw a little bit of that tonight as well.
Yeah, and I'm seeing a couple of people in the chat pissed off about the officiating. I didn't really have a problem with the officiating. I saw misses on both sides, literally within like a 7 second span. A shark tripped an Avalanche player, and then 6 seconds after that, an Avalanche player tripped a shark player, and neither was called. Okay, so be it. I mean, I didn't have a problem with it, but anyway, we move on to the second period, and finally scoring would open up. Tyson Yost would get a 2-on-1 after EK65 would get back incredibly late. EK65 for me is going to be a storyline throughout the rest of this game as we talk about it. But, I mean, Puck Guy, that's, I mean, it's a 2-on-1, and it was played really well by Yost. And, again, it's one of those ones that, honestly, since Game 5 of Vegas, there's maybe like one goal out of all the goals the Sharks have let in. I think there's one goal that you might be able to hang on Jones. You can make a case for that. Tonight was not that case.
Yeah, it was a, you know, it was a tough one. The Sharks kind of relied on Jones to make the big saves in games 4, 5, 6, and 7 of the Vegas series and early on. In this series, you know, Jones has been phenomenal. You know, sometimes those fluky goals will happen every now and then, and that's what's going to happen. And that's where you need yourself and your teammates to pick them up. And, you know, unfortunately, they caught the Sharks a little flat footed there and bang it in 1-0 Colorado.
Rock, your take?
Yeah. When you're late to the party, bad things happen.
Your favorite booze is gone. Your favorite drugs are gone. And the woman you wanted to bang is already upstairs. No, yep. I'm kidding.
She's already hooked up with your best friend. And you got to settle for Sean Avery's sloppy seconds.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that's for you. That's for you. Oh, hell yeah. All right. So... at 9:17, Haley would take a roughing minor against Kale McCarr. I look at this in two different ways. First off, I think this was a dumb, this was selfish. This was stupid by Haley to take this penalty, number one. And then number two, I look at it and there was shenanigans going both ways, Rocket. I'm a little pissed off that like they both didn't go.
Yeah, I think that Colorado's strategy right now is not necessarily to ruffle anybody's feathers. They were too busy trying to figure out how they could beat San Jose, which they barely did by the skin of their teeth tonight. And keep in mind that San Jose is without Joe Pavelski. So, yeah. I mean, they barely pulled it off.
I'm curious, what happens if you tilt the mic just a little bit up and talk into the back part of it?
Uh-oh. Is it bad?
Well, there's a couple. No.
Is this better? Worse?
Yes.
Okay.
No. Now it's better.
Now it's better.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. We'll get you there. Okay. Puck Guy, your take, did you think McCarr could go? Did you think it was a stupid penalty for Haley to take at that point?
I thought it was a stupid penalty. I thought it should have been evened up a little bit because, you know, Haley was just responding to the punch, or the push. And to be honest, you know, that's one of the things that we always catch is somebody's going to throw a push. The refs will always see the retaliatory. You got to be a little bit smarter than that. And in that case, and unfortunately, McCauley sees Haley push back, and sure enough, they just get that one. And that's always frustrating. And like I tweeted out during the game, it's like, for Michael Haley's sake to continue playing in the playoffs, the Sharks better kill this one off.
The funny thing, though, is you sit there and you say they catch the retaliatory, which typically they do. But for me, it was McCarr that was throwing some retaliatory stuff. Again, I think there was stuff that went both ways, and I do think it was a little silly that both guys didn't go off. But I don't want to sit here and dwell on this all goddamn night. So right. 14-36, Vlasic would bury a rebound that would get reviewed for goalie interference, although when you look at the play, I have no idea why.
Well, there was some contact from Timo Meier, but it didn't affect Grubauer from trying to stop the puck, at least in my mind.
I don't know, but either way, it was a beautiful play by Vlasic Rocket, just sneaking in the back door while everybody was kind of, you know, everybody totally focused on puck watching the front of the crease and not noticing a creeping in Mark Edward Vlasic, who, of course, you know, is known as a sniper.
Oh, yeah. He's a dangle sniper, top shelf, celly, popping water bottles all day long. Like, he's got one of the highest goal percentages on the team. I'm making all of this up, by the way. Yes, he's fabulous. Good job. I think it was nice to see a shutdown defenseman get a really juicy goal like that. I mean, he was just right there and whoop, and it went.
Okay. Okay, now I'm curious. Put the mic completely vertical. All right. Now talking to the side that is closest to you, but like, yeah, let's see it.
The side.
Much better. Oh my god, much better.
But that's what I was before.
No, you were talking into the top of it before.
Anyway. You told me to talk into the top of it because never mind.
We'll do this offline later.
I have a microphone growing out of my nose.
There you go. Puck guy, your take on the Vlasic goal.
Vlasic, yes. Hey, you know, you want contributions from guys that aren't getting the usual offensive contributions, and to follow through the play and buries an open net. I mean, Grubauer was obviously out of position, overcompensated, and Vlasic buried it, and that was a huge goal right then and there, because Colorado had all the momentum going on during the entire second period, and or for that matter the first 40 minutes. I mean, shoot, after two periods only 13 shots from San Jose tonight after 40. Hey, that's crazy. But Vlasic buries one. His second of the playoffs. He had like, what, three all year? So great to see contributions from the blue line that aren't EK65 or Bernsey.
Yeah, that's what are you going to do? All right. I can already feel myself spiraling, but 1844, Compher would get his first on the night. Oh, yeah, yeah. Up high, but, I mean, you know, he's shooting that from damn near the blue line. Jones got a screen in front of him. Again, I go back to the whole idea of this is not one you can hang on Jones, Eric.
No, you can't. And it was a nice play. Kerfoot, setting up the screen right in front. And obviously, if you can't see where the puck is going, good luck trying to find it and stopping it. And sure enough, Compher buries it. Late goal. You know, it definitely changed the momentum back to Colorado again. And it seemed like they were all over the place. And sure enough, you know, it's one of those things where you can demoralize a team or you can be resilient. And the Sharks this year have been more resilient than anything in the history I've ever seen them have.
True that. But just a scooch over a minute later with 10 seconds left in the period, EK65 would display some beautiful patience, wait for Burns to enter the zone, feed him, and Burns would drill it home to tie this up with 10 seconds left. Rocket, at least at that point, you had to be going, you know what? Out of this one, going into the final 20 minutes tied up, you got to like the Sharks' chances.
Yeah, not only did I like their chances, but I liked I liked the fact that they weren't wholly out of the hole yet. Yeah, I know, laugh all you want.
No, I like it because you look like you're a member from KISS from like 1977, like just holding anything, you know, but anyway.
Yeah, I could probably get a guest spot on Home Improvement. It's like Wilson's sister or something. Sure.
Sounds good though.
that's all that matters. What was I talking about?
The Burns goal, the final 10 seconds.
God bless him. Yeah, no, it's a good thing. I've seen the Sharks play from behind before because they're a bunch of slackers and this is what they tend to do. So I wasn't generally like overly concerned. The only thing I kind of was concerned with is that the Colorado Avalanche are used to this elevation, whereas the Sharks aren't. And though they haven't really seemed like they're terribly fatigued, I do know that fatigue plays a factor. So
I totally agree. And that's, you know, as this game progressed, that's what kept popping up in the back of my mind, is the longer this game goes on, advantage Colorado. But into the third, 4 minutes in, Compher yet again. It was the night of two goals, evidently. Compher gets two, Vlasic gets two, but we'll get to Vlasic's in a moment. Compher, he wasn't picked up. He was able to sneak in behind other people, and some absolute piss poor defense by EK65. Horrible.
It was almost that Marchand goal-esque a little bit, unfortunately. Go ahead, Rock.
Wasn't that Dylan's fault, though?
Well, some people were saying it was Dylan's fault. I don't know. I saw Dylan pick up his man. It was EK65 I noticed that was like, oh, my arm's not long enough. My stick should be longer. It's just, I mean... And Hackle saying that was everyone's fault, but
I mean, you can throw Sorensen in there. Sorry to jump on there, AJ, but you can throw Sorensen in that one too, who gave up the puck there too. So,
well, both Dylan and EK65 were minus two, and Q Chris bitching about plus minus in a second. But either way, just, you know, not good. You know, it's funny, for if you go and listen to like the last two, three games that the Sharks have played, go back and listen to the highlights, or, well, I don't know that the highlights are going to pick it up, but every time you hear talk about EK65, it's always in the offensive zone. Tonight, one of the things was perfect was on Burns's goal to tie up the game at the end of the second. They're talking about, wow, did you see the patience Erik Karlsson showed there to wait for Burns and the other Sharks to get into the zone, and then he waited and then found the right opportunity to pass it. Yeah, he's really good offensively, which I guess is what you look for in a defenseman. But moving on. At right. seven, go on. Ahead.
All right, David Toscano in the chat saying, why are people always making excuses for Karlsson? Let's be real. He made a shit ton of mistakes. Screw EK65 for scolding Dylan on the bench. You don't do that on the bench during playoffs. That's locker room shit. Now, I have to agree with this, and I don't care how many Norris trophies you have. If you are a passionate player, I get that, and that's what gets you those Norris trophies. But you know how else you get those Norris trophies? By being a professional. By being a professional sportsman in an NHL, like the sports league, you know, professionalism. And this whole, like, chewing your teammates a new asshole on the bench is not a good look. I don't care how much hardware you have. I don't care how many fancy goals you score. I don't care how curly your mustache is. That's not like, if he had ripped into Haley, I kind of would be saying the same thing, because it's not something you do, like, not in public. That's something you do closed doors. You give it to each other, but in public, you need to present a unified front. And if that guy is so disconnected from the team mentality that he feels that it's appropriate to display that level of unprofessionalism, I want him to finish the season. I want them to be successful. You know, I want them to go to the Stanley Finals. I want him to win. But after that, I don't want him to resign.
No, and I'm right there with you. And, you know, I'm seeing in the chat that they were talking about the EK65, like, ripped into Dylan after that. But then to me, that's all projection. Again, go back. We GIF everything. Follow us on Teal Town USA. We GIF all the scoring plays and other key plays. If you look at it, Dylan to me was like playing the guy he was supposed to play. EK65 was dragging ass. So if he wants to sit there and try to blame somebody else for his laziness or his ruptured groin or whatever it is because he's not 100%, then you're blaming the wrong person, as far as I'm concerned. And I know Chris is trying to like poke some fun. What was this a second ago? Something about a noted offensive defenseman is mostly about offense. That wasn't the point, but I'm glad you grabbed onto that. But that wasn't the point. The point, the fact of the matter is, He's a defenseman. You would think he would have something along in the lines of defense. Like Burns is able to defend pretty well, despite also bringing some solid offense. Whereas EK65, it's just been nothing but offense. Like defensively, he has been piss poor this entire playoff run. But that's just one man's opinion. Anyway.
Well, I would say just to quickly aside, I mean, we've talked about some of the passing that Burns has had, and it's been into turnovers. And we talk about one of the ones
McKinnon's. The two in Colorado in games three and game four were
right.
Well, those were horrible. But you've also seen him make plays where he actually put tonight. He totally had good stick work and like totally got in McKinnon's way. So McKinnon couldn't bury one tonight. McKinnon has, or Burns, without a doubt, I mean, fight me on this. Burns, without a doubt, has been defensively better these playoffs than EK65.
He's been better. I think they both have had flashes with decent defense. But has it been piss poor? Sure, but I say both of them have had their struggles along with contributing offensively.
Yeah, no, I'm not. That's the whole thing. I'm not saying that they both haven't had their struggles. God damn, Burns was horrible in games three and four in Colorado. Two bad passes led to goals the other way. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying Burns defensively over the course of these playoffs has been better than EK65. That's it. You don't have to read anything more into it. That's all that I'm saying. So finally, 17:32, Pickles would score yet again. Just a great bank shot off of an avalanche skate in front of the net. And we got a tie game. We go to overtime. You got to be feeling good because at this point, you're probably feeling a little bit of deja vu. It's like, well, let's see. Game four, they got shut out in the first round. Game four in the second round, they got shut out. Game five, well, they won that in the first round. Second round, they also won that. Game six, they went to overtime. They won that. Well, it was double overtime, but still, you had to feel good saying, uh-oh, all right, overtime. But then again, I go back to what Rocket was saying and that we were agreeing on is the fact that the longer this game went, the more it played until the altitude, Rock.
Yeah, and I think that everybody knew that was going to be a factor. Man, I mean, like, I know that they condition for this stuff and they're professional athletes, but there is no way that being a mile up like that with that kind of dry ass altitude and then going back down on near sea level in San Jose, I mean, literally landing in the Pacific Ocean at San Francisco, and well, it depends on which airport, but I digress. It's still a lot for a human body to contend with, even if it's one in peak physical conditions, such as professional athletes are tend to be.
Yeah. Chris, feel free to jump on if you want to make your case about Carlson. I mean, Chris is saying in the chat, Carlson has made his share of good stick plays and play in front of the net on the rush. You're highlighting the faults of one over the other. No, I mean, I'm highlighting the faults of both. Burns has had less faults than EK65 over the course of these playoffs, in my opinion. Again, you have the link to jump on if you want to make your case, bro.
Rob, I'm saying if you have no confidence in Ryan, play Heed.
No, because we all know that Petey Board, the whole reason we talked about that with Ian last time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not going to do that because he doesn't shoot from the correct side of his body.
But again, as we talked about this before, we've seen them even tonight. I think Braun was out there with Carlson. I think we saw, you know, EK65 and Burns together as well. And sure, those are probably for, you know, offensive minded situations, but it seems like he's kind of warming up to it a little bit too. So, but also, you know, you also have to think about how cold Heed could be. I mean, yeah, he's taking practices and rushes, but of course that's not, especially in playoffs, that's not like, you know, prime game situations.
Well, here's the big question, the elephant in the room per se. While Martin Jones puts up his 846 save percentage, and I feel bad for the guy because wasn't his, but Does Joe Pavelski play game seven?
God, no. I got to ask either one of you, have you ever had staples or stitches in your head before?
I've had stitches, yes.
Okay. All right. So after you've had stitches, did you go running anytime after while you still had an open wound?
No, but I'm also not a professional athlete.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like his capillaries aren't any more magnificent than yours are, AJ. It's a human body. Like you're not going to be able, like your cranium is right there. There's so much blood and so many nerves up there. You're dealing with swelling. You're dealing with bleeding. You're dealing with secondary infection. Just terms of sweat and the equipment and everything getting into that wound. I don't think we're going to see him for game seven. We shouldn't. This man's health is in question here.
Oh man. I so wish that we had like the option right now to like just throw a quick poll up. I mean, I know we can't on Twitter, but it would be really cool to just put one in the chat real fast. But I mean, Eric, what do you think? Rocket, you're saying no, right?
I'm saying that Joe Pavelski would live without a finger. If this was a broken finger or a broken leg or something, they tape it back up and throw him out there. This is his dome, dude. Like there's some swelling and things that goes on. And
oh my God, answer the question.
What? No, it's a no.
You think he plays on game seven?
Hell no.
Okay. Eric.
I say, will he want to play? Yes.
Yes.
If he gets clear to play, yes, he'll play. Do I think they'll do a little jumbo Joe Thornton thingy up until warmups on Wednesday night? Yeah, probably, but I don't see him playing.
Okay, I'm sorry. I asked a yes or no question, and I got a whole spiel. Is he going to play game seven?
I say no, but I think he skates in warmups.
I say no.
Skating in warmups has nothing to do with whether he plays.
But my point is that they're going to probably dangle the little carrot around saying, oh, he's going to play. Oh, he's going to play. Oh, he's going to play. And then, oh, nope, we tricked you.
But that's not what the question was.
But my point is that's what you're trying to say.
That's not what the question was.
Okay.
I understand.
No, he's not going to play. Back to you, AJ.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you guys are the best. Moving on to the next part of the game.
So have you seen those Winifred Jumbo shirts? Those are pretty sweet, huh?
Those are amazing. Where can I get one?
Oh, well, you can find one of those at TealTownUSA.com. And before we go any further, of course, we have to show it off just a scotch, because it is a nice shirt. And if you caught Twitter Mission, our buddy Brody Brazil was rocking one during both episodes of Twitter Mission, and we can't appreciate that enough. Brody, you the man. That's all one word, by the way, you the man. So thank you very much, Broham. We totally appreciate that. Again, if you want one, $25, it helps support the site. You can grab one right now. It's on the front page, tealtownusa.com. Go get them, because we actually have limited availability right now. Extra large, large, and medium available right now. So anyway, now Brandon is saying, AJ, you never said if you think Pavs is coming back or not, in your opinion.
Uh-oh.
And as Rocket knows me all too well, I am unsure. No, I'm going with, I honestly, because it's game seven, no, I think Pavs plays, to be honest with you. Do I think he plays limited minutes? Yes. But I think Pavs is going to play. I think dude is an absolute gamer. Do I think he should play? No. Do I think he's going to play? Yes.
If he gets hit in the dome, that is his career.
Yep. Makes some decisions in the offseason much easier, I suppose. That's such an asshole thing to say. But I'm just saying. Oh, Brandon says he thinks he will play too. Who do you sit for Pavs? Right now, Haley, without a doubt. Haley.
Yeah.
This has not been like a total physical series. This is not the Ryan Reeves you're looking for. So I don't have a problem with that. Were they selling those at Shark's Ice on 10th Street? Nope. You can only get those at TealTownUSA.com. Read Brody's tweet. Well, what did Brody tweet? What did Brody tweet?
I don't know. What did Brody tweet? Now we all have to leave the show.
You Brody tweeted to get ahead of the whole, quote, can, would, should Pavelski play in game seven.
Oh.
Only a very small circle within the Sharks are going to know, one, his status, and two, his potential impact versus the existing lineup.
Yep. Pretty much. But that is that's going to be the question on everybody's minds between now and 6 o'clock on Wednesday. So we shall see. Let's get into the final numbers here. Shots on goal, 22 for the Sharks, 26 for the Avs, 53-47% in the circle in favor of the Avalanche. Sharks went 0-for-1 on the power play. I'm a little surprised they only got one power play opportunity tonight, but it was only one, and they were unable to really do anything with it because, again, it was truncated. It was small. Avalanche 0-for-3. Again, one of theirs. Truncated. Small. 24 hits for the Sharks, 31 for the Avalanche, which is a little suspect when you consider that, for me, Colorado dominated a lot of this game and held possession for most of it. 23 blocks for Avalanche, 20 for the Sharks, and giveaways were marginal, 6-5 in favor of the Avalanche. Final numbers for the actual players. Aside from Mark Vlasic, not good. They got, you know, again, did not do well in the circle. They kind of got a little bit better as it went on, but Haley with a whopping 527. Joachim Ryan barely outdoing him 45 seconds more at 615. Oh, Barkley Goodrow, you lovely son of a bitch. Game 7 score. I look for you in Game 7 on Wednesday, my friend, at 11:04. Melker Carlson with 919. And then, of course, killing it, as always, Brent Burns, 30 minutes. 30 freaking minutes. So, there you go. It all comes down to Wednesday, I think, singular. Who knows who do we think the towel is going to be? Who have we had on the towel so far? We've had Pavelski, Couture. Has Erik Karlsson been on a towel yet?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I know what it'll be.
Jones?
No, it's going to be a milk carton with Evander Kane on it.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Hasn't Kane already been on a towel?
Kane has been on a towel, though.
Ah!
Yeah. But
well, it went missing.
Damn. Let me see. Hurdle was on the last towel. Burns has been on a towel. Okay, so what's the...
Kane. Jumbo.
I thought you said... Oh, yeah. Kane. Who was the opening? Pavelski, then Jumbo, then
have
who?
They done the Burns yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they
Couture,
did
Couture, right? For sure.
They did Logan or that. Yeah, no, the opening night was Pavelski. Then they had Jumbo. They've done Burns. They've done Kane. They've done Couture. And they did Hurdle. Ooh boy, who is the next one? It's got to be Vlasic then. I think it's going to be Jones.
It's Haley.
Oh no, I think it's Shimmick.
No, I say it's Timo Meier.
Oh, Timo. No, that's a good call.
Ooh,
you know what?
That's a very good call.
I'm going Jones. And who opens the door?
That's a good question.
Can we get Kendall Coyne to do it again? She did a great job last time. Great results. So I think we should do that again.
Well, I thought Douglas Murray and Devin Setoguchi had pretty good results.
I say you get Owen Nolan this time.
I would have no problem with that.
And in fact, I think you actually did in 2016 for game 5. So I was thinking
Dan Boyle.
Dan Boyle's a good choice.
That's a nice one.
You know, the one thing about this series, it kind of reminds me of the series against Nashville a little bit, where the teams went back and forth in the first four games. The Sharks win game five, then they lose game six in overtime. And now they're going to a seventh game where I just think they could just are going to fly.
I hope so. No, wait a minute. Nabby and Ricci did the one before Kendall Coyne. So Nabby's already been involved. But Marco Sturm did make an appearance in the alumni suite a couple games ago.
I'm sorry. AO12345 in the chat saying it's got to be Patty Marlowe.
I don't have a problem with that.
Neither do I.
I think people, well, see, now if Pavelski does not play, then it's got to be Pavelski.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. That's totally agree with you, AJ.
Yeah.
That's the smart money. That's the very smart money, yeah.
If you don't do that, there's a big problem. So there's a huge disconnect somewhere.
So
disconnect somewhere. So let's see. Jamie Baker should open the door. Like, that guy doesn't have enough to do.
I saw somebody mention John Scott.
John Scott,
God, that would be the place. Well, see, you know, but hold on. When was the John Scott thing? Was that 2016, 2015? 2016,
15,
right? 15.
15, 16. 16 was the cup run.
Yeah, it was 15, 16, right?
No.
Mm-mm. The year before.
John Scott did not go to the Stanley Cup Finals, AJ.
No, that's what I'm saying. He was on the team in 14-15, but he went to the All-Star game 15-16, right?
Yeah, that's
that is correct.
Okay, see, that's what I'm saying. So 15-16, you know, so that's the whole thing, though, is, you know, are fans going to remember from 5 years ago, 4 years ago?
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope so.
Oh, Alex, Drew, get Drew to open the door.
You know, I haven't seen Drew, you know, Drew Remenda during the first round was doing some guest articles on the Mercury News. Have not seen an article from him this second round, interestingly enough. But what? Oh, shit. They can have Heat and Ryan open the door. That can count as their on-ice minutes. Damn.
I wish there was a way I could send you money for that, because that was great.
Rafi Torres. No, if Rafi touched that door, somehow he'd get suspended for 41 games. Wow. Man, that was good. That was good. Yeah, so who knows, that you know, because I mean, they've been rolling with the alumni. Who did they? Well, who did they have in the first round? There was a 49er in there, wasn't there?
There was John Lynch.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, the Sharks lost that game. It seems like anytime a 49er opens the door, the Sharks lose.
I think we had Brandon Belt too.
Oh yeah, Brandon Belt was involved. Yep. Wasn't that game one or game two? One of those.
I think so.
Yeah, but I've liked it that they started rolling with the alumni in the second round.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll be here all day if we're talking about this. Bruce Bochy. what, Hunter Pence? No, he's busy in Texas. So Belt was game one. Exactly. Game five was Staley. Really? I don't remember Staley opening the door.
Oh, yeah, Staley and Mike McGlinchey.
I wonder if they could get Green Day to open the door.
Well, and there is history with Metallica. They'd open the door before.
Yeah, could get In Too Deep. They're from Vallejo.
Oh, Christ. And it's time to start wrapping it up, ladies.
Good night, everyone.
No, we're not going back to the hotel, people.
Aw.
Not going to do it. Ricci just opened with Murray. No, Ricci opened it with Nabby. Murray opened it with Devin Setoguchi. So,
nice. 10 in saying Smash Mouth.
Setoguchi. I like saying that. So anyway, it sounds like an Italian dish, but it also sounds like something. It sounds like Setoguchi sounds like something a vampire would serve you. An Italian vampire. Would you care for some more Setoguchi? I don't know why. I just feel that way. Sandis Ozelinch. Yeah. I could totally see that. And the 12 people rooting because they remember who he is and what he means to the Sharks. that's what I think is so. If you're going to get an alumni, you better get someone beloved.
Oh, hell yeah. Kevin says, I can open the door. I got nothing going on. Yes. Show up with your best turtleneck game. Open that door, Kevin. Do it.
Heck yeah.
Ron Wilson. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
And with that, I think we're done. Cannon and Boyle. Okay. I like that one. I like that one.
Ross McKeown tweeting out, Wednesday marks the first time the Sharks play back-to-back seven-game series since their very first venture into the playoffs in 1994 when they beat Detroit and lost to Toronto in those two game series.
Can we not repeat history, please?
Please.
Over on the other side, let me see now if I do remember correctly, there was another game.
Have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
And, Torts, I haven't seen your post-game presser, but I really want to, since you guaranteed that there would be a game seven, and alas, there is not. Boston does move on. Pour one out for the what do you call their mascot again?
What?
Sparky? Wait, no, that was Islanders.
No, you Eric always calls them something.
Oh, they're the team formerly known as the Neon Buggers.
There you go. Yeah. So pour one out for the Neon Buggers. You gone. It was a good story while it lasted. Here's hoping that Boston gets the absolute crap kicked out of them by the Carolina Hurricanes. Bunch of jerks. I'm rooting for it. Jesus Christ. Is Carolina going to be like the team of destiny this season? Like the no-name storm surge?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So far. I mean, I really am curious to see what this matchup is going to. I mean, honestly, this is the first matchup this playoff season that I'm really just like kind of salivating over that isn't Sharks related.
Oh, you Carolina, Boston?
Yes.
Oh, I'm praying that Carolina just beats the crap out of them. Okay, now here's one for Shark Stats. Or Eric, you might know this. When was the last time in a playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, the first round there was a sweep and the second round there was a sweep?
Oh, boy.
See? Okay, everybody on the chat, there's your homework. You saw Tampa Bay get swept in the first round. You saw the Islanders get swept in the second round. When was the last time that the opening two rounds each featured a sweep? I don't remember one in a while. Like, I think I remember a Stanley Cup playoffs not too long ago where there were two sweeps in the same round, but I don't remember back to back. Skyler, it's not a freaking contest, bro. I'm actually like looking for an answer here.
Yeah, right.
Jesus Christ. Dude, I'm not giving away a towel.
Two first sweeps count. Wow.
No, they don't.
Wow.
But holy hell. Thank you, Laurel, because that was getting a little annoying.
And
also having issues. Very predictable. I had a feeling the next thing they were going to put was 2009. So, yeah, that's something to look up, kids. That's your homework until we meet again on Wednesday. So I think with that, probably a good time to wrap this up. Your final in overtime. The hell was it? 3-2, right?
Something like that.
It was 4-3.
4-3. Oh, yeah, because it wasn't two or three. Yeah. 1960 Montreal. What the? Yeah, it's really time to go. So, Rocket, let everybody know where the people can find you on all the social places.
Hey, everyone. Just pretend there's a face behind this microphone and everything will be just fine, okay? My name is Rocket Backhander, and you can check me out on Twitter, typing things about hockey and other things that I know only marginally about, but just enough to make me sound fun and interesting. You can check those little thoughts out. That's rbackhander76, capital R, capital B, little @hander76. Or you can check out my photographs over on Instagram, I take photographs of stuff and things, and sometimes I put little frames around them and make them blurry, you know, aesthetics. Also sharks. Rocket Backhander, one word, Twitter. AJ?
Am I the only one that between the shawl and the headdress really wishes that Rocket's microphone looked like a crystal ball?
Call me no. Go on. I see that goal is not going to go your way.
Oh my God. All right. Eric, where can they find you on the social media?
They can find me at PuckGuy14 on the Twitter and the Instagram. And can't wait for game 7.
Street rally?
Should be starting, I think, around like
noon?
3:30. Oh. 3:30. I'll tell you right now, if you work in San Jose, get out early. I'm telling you right now, get out early. Again, reminder, it is a 6 p.m. face-off. It'll be on NBCSN. I believe Brody said their pregame coverage will begin at 5. So be on the lookout for that. And of course, we'll be back with you following that game with extensive coverage of hopefully previewing the Western Conference Final.
Oh, man. So, yeah, so that's like street rally is going to be like open at like 3:30. Dear Lord.
It's going to be a brunch.
Ink.
Everybody who works in downtown, just leave at lunchtime.
Kevin saying, FYI, the last time there were two sweeps was 2015.
But were they in like consecutive rounds or were they like in the same round, you know?
I'm waiting for him to respond back.
Well, he says, I'm pretty sure 2013 was the last time a team was swept after sweeping the previous one. Oh, I don't care if it was like the same team was involved. I'm just wondering, like, a sweep in a round followed by the next round also had a sweep. That's all. That would, if they lose, fire PDB. Well, that's a story for the offseason, which we will get to as soon as that happens.
Yep. Two different rounds. Yep.
Two different rounds. Yeah. But were they consecutive, though? That's what I'm saying. Like, was it round one and then round two? Was it round two, then round three is when was he talking about like, well, there was a sweep in round one and then there was a sweep in round three. That's all. 2015. All right, I'll look it up. Yep. So anyway, that's it. We gone, people. Thanks for tuning in. Again, if you were able to watch Twitter Mission, you got to see Brody Brazil, can't say thanks enough, rocking the jumbo tee. Let's get that out of there. Rocking the Win It for jumbo tee, and if you would like one of those, then go ahead and grab yourself one. TealTownUSA.com is where you can find it, and as always, hit us up on the Twitter, hashtag TealTownUSA, at TealTownUSA. Also on Facebook, Instagram, SoundCloud, and as always, do us a favor, hit that subscribe button if you have not already for YouTube, and find us on your favorite podcatcher, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Spotify, we're on all of them. So go grab that shirt, people. Teal Town, USA, we will see you after yet another Game 7, dear Lord. Help me and help my beer budget, I think is what I'm trying to say here, kids. I'm AJ _ Strong on all the social media for Rocket, for Eric. We gone, people. Have a good night. We will see you after game 7.